Morning, church. It's good to have each and every one of you here and with us today. And as was pointed out, there are several of our own crew that's missing, but we've got several visitors as well. So we're so glad that you're with us and able to share with us today. We are continuing in on our series of entitled Upside Down Living, how when we go about certain things in our lives, the world sees things as odd and peculiar. And so this idea of upside down living, we're looking at the Beatitudes, that it's the introduction to the greatest sermon ever preached. And Jesus shares that. And today we'll be looking specifically in Matthew chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. But just as a little bit of a recap from where we've been, in the previous two sermons, when we looked at the beginning of the Beatitudes, there is the foundation of grace, the grace that we have been given, the foundation of grace, of the opportunity to be a part of the church. And then we looked last week on the strength of submission and how the world doesn't always see it that way, that if we submit, that if we give our will over to someone else's, specifically our will over to the master, over to the Father's will, that can be and is usually a very difficult struggle for us. But yet we see that there is strength that comes in submitting to Jesus. And then with that, so this morning we are looking at, is what we've titled these two verses, the heart of the kingdom. This is the heartbeat of the church. This is how, as we look at these things, that they are just good practice points for all Christians. They will help us to have our life more in tune with our Savior. So we've heard it said that what is on the inside eventually leaks out. Mercy is an outward expression, and purity is that inward condition. So with that said, let's look at Matthew 5, 7, and 8. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I've heard it once said before with this verse of, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For really, aren't the pure in heart only the only ones that want to see God? Just a thought there. Look at it this way. As we think about a water filter, probably most of our homes have water filters of some degree. Either you might have a big system, or maybe you've just got something you tie on the end of your faucet, your spigot there, or even maybe some containers that you put water into and keep in your refrigerator. We're familiar with the water filter. So if the filter is our heart, is dirty, the water, our actions, is tainted. We oftentimes spend a lot of time making the faucet of our lives look really good. We may go out here and just shine up the drinking fountains, but if when you turn the lever, muddy water comes out, what good is it how good that faucet looks? You know, we like to show up to the building, and maybe this was how it was for some of us today. But we show up to the building. We want our faucets, our lives to look good. We show up and we sing our songs. We got a smile on our face. We use the right brother and sister phraseology to, you know, really impress people. But if the filter of our heart is dirty, the water will be tainted no matter how shiny the hardware looks. It's kind of like this. Purity is tough. Okay? Purity is tough. It's like trying to keep a white carpet clean in your house while owning three muddy golden retrievers and a toddler that's holding a grape juice box. That's how difficult it can be. You know, no matter how hard you try, it's just not going to work out. Something's going to happen. There's going to be problems. And so the first thing I want for us to talk about this morning is and we're all familiar with it, it's called the church face dilemma, right? Some of you, we just right now, immediately put on our church face, right? Kevin's got it going on back there, right? We put on our church face, right? We are so blessed. Life is great, right? Yeah, not creepy at all, right? Right? And so as we look at that, but that is the church face dilemma that so many of us share in, and to be honest with us, probably all of us have been there. You're getting ready for Sunday service. You've already checked the mirror a couple times, and yes, you've got the Church of Christ smile on, right? And then the coffee spills. Or your little one decides that your shirt is what they want to use as a napkin for the grape jelly and toast they just had for breakfast. We spend so much time trying to look the part of being pure and spotless body of believers. Well, here's what I want for you to realize, that if we are really truly a part of the body of believers, then don't try to fool anybody else, because we all get it. We all understand. And so that's where, you know, several years ago, the big words were, you know, to be relevant and to be true and to be authentic and things of that nature. And not to downplay those things, because Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. I believe Romans 5:8. And he knew what he was getting into. He knew, and when he died for us, it wasn't when we were on our best day. It was when we were at our worst. That's when he died for us. And we're so grateful for that. But we try to look this pure and spotless part of believers, but it's okay, because everyone else around us knows what, may not know exactly what you're going through, but I know what I'm going through, and you know what you're going through, and we know that every day is not a gem. Colossians 3:12 says this, "Then put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts." I think that was already shared here this morning at our time around communion. "Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." Sometimes we're like the high-end car with a pristine wax job and an engine that is making a sound like a squirrel throwing forks into a microwave oven. What does it matter if the car looks great if the engine don't run? We look Church of Christ on the outside. We look like the body of Christ. We look like the bride of Christ on the outside. At least that's the appearance we're trying to give. But on the inside, that's where the real work happens. Maybe it's in our fellowship time. If we value the truth, we want to be around those that share in the truth. But I want for us to understand this morning. If we have truth without mercy, then we're not being the church of Christ. Did we hear that, church? If we are truth, we know what the Bible says, but we have no mercy, then we're not the church of Christ. We're just being loud. True mercy is giving someone what they need, not what they deserve. How many here need a Savior? Right? We all need a Savior, but how many of us deserve hell? Those same hands should be going up. So we need to give people what they need and not what they deserve. Not just because that's what we should do for others, that's what was done for us. In the late 19th century, before we fully understood purity and cleanness in medicine, surgeons would go from performing an autopsy straight to delivering a baby without washing their hands. They looked like professional doctors. As a matter of fact, they were. But they were carrying death. Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis, he noticed this. He demanded purity, specifically hand washing in chlorinated lime. He was mocked for it. His peers made fun of him. The doctor council said that it was unrelated to anything that they were doing. Some even thought he was just obsessing over the idea. Give it up. Why can't you just do how everybody else is doing? But when the doctor's hands became pure, the death rate in the maternity ward of one out of every five babies dying dropped to nearly 0%. Purity is not being stuck up. It's not acting as if we are holier than thou. In the body of Christ, purity is a matter of life and death, just as it is in the physician's room or in the surgeon's room. If our hearts are not clean, it's because we're carrying the germs of gossip, of pride, of judgment. And we're not just thinking those things throughout the week. We bring them into the assemblies as we gather here this morning. And we wonder why the church feels sick. Because we are not providing for them a doctor that is pure and clean and sanitized. We are providing them with sickness and ailment, when really what we need to do is bring them to the great physician, Jesus Christ. As we kind of discussed in our Sunday school class this morning over here with Josh, is we need to bring them to Jesus and get ourselves out of the way. Jesus is the one that's going to save the lost, not us. We have our parts to do, but when it comes to the ultimate saving, it's Him. What a burden that is taken off of us. That if we are around those that are lost, the Lord's going to save them, not me. When we are impure, carrying around the dead things of our past, our secret sins, our pride, we don't just hurt ourselves. We bring that infection right here. Purity is not about legalism. Purity is about protecting the life of the body. That's us, the body of Christ, and Christ being the head or the preeminence or the top notch. He's the one calling the shots. And we are the body that only do whatever the head tells them to. So looking more towards our text here this morning of Matthew 5, 7 and Matthew 5, 8. There's mercy, and that's the blessing of receiving. Mercy is the blessing of receiving. Matthew 5, 7 says, blessed are the mercifuls. Blessed are the mercifuls. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And see, you all there just exhibited wonderful mercy by not stoning me for saying something wrong. Right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Just stop and think about that phrase for just a moment. So who's going to receive mercy? How many here want to receive mercy? How then do we receive that? We ourselves need to be merciful. Right? We ourselves need to be merciful. We want to receive mercy, then we need to show mercy. Make sure you show mercy, especially to your family. Is that what it says? No. We need to, right? Make sure you show mercy to the lost that you come in contact with. Do we need to? Yeah, sure we need to. But there's not a pick and choose. It's not a salad bar mentality that we get to go through and say, well, I'm going to show mercy to this one, this, not that one, this one. No, no, no. Mike, no mercy for you. Mercy, mercy, mercy. No mercy for you. That's not what it is. It's he that shows mercy will receive mercy. All I know that if we use that logic, and Paul used that logic in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. No, don't go down there. Don't do that. But what their thought was, more sinning, more grace. Well, doesn't that make logic? If I sin, I'm given grace. Thank you, Jesus. But if I sin more, I get more grace. No, that's abusing that. Now on this hand here, do you want mercy? Do you want a lot of mercy? Do you want mercy to be overflowing when it comes into you? Then you need to do the same. Then we need to be merciful, not pick and choose, because we might just be on the opposite end of that and get picked not to be given mercy. Oh, that's not fair. Well, then we need not to look at how we distribute it. It just needs to be given to all. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So here's the twist. A pure heart does not become a hard heart. I've never heard that. That person's heart is so hard. I think it's because they're so pure. Right? Or because they show so much mercy. No, that's, you never hear that, those things. It's the opposite. That we will have a soft heart if we understand the mercy situation. How many of us, when we think of purity, think of the keep out sign? Right? The keep out sign. We're trying to keep all of that stuff out. I need to put a sign in my life that says keep out. Right? But in the kingdom, purity leads to mercy. Think about a clean window. Clean window doesn't stop the light, it lets the light through. If we are truly a pure people, then we should be most merciful. We should be the most merciful people on this planet. Why? Because we know how much grape jelly God has had to wash off our souls. James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Think about that. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Would you rather receive mercy or be judged? Mercy triumphs. Mercy wins. Aren't we glad that the mercy that Christ gave to us on the cross won? Matthew 5:8, purity is seeing God, and we touched on this at the very beginning. For I think those are the only ones that want to see Him. If you've got an impure heart, impure mind, impure thinking, do you really want to come face to face with God? So it's trying to work on that purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In the Church of Christ, we pride ourselves on seeing the Word correctly, right? We have the Word and we see the truth that lies within it. We study the Greek. We check the context, and that's good. But Jesus says if you want to see God, we have to check the filter of our heart. Remember when Jesus met the woman at the well? And they got into this, the discussion of, well, is it going to be on this mountain? Is it going to be here? How's it going to look? What does worship look like? And so let's just say, for example, the Samaritans had more of the spirit of worship down. Where the Jews in Jerusalem, the Samaritans in Gerizim, they had the spirit down, and the Jews, they knew the law of Moses. They knew what it was like. And they had the truth. And Jesus looks at her and says, it's not about that mountain and it's not about Jerusalem. It's about worshiping our Father who is in heaven in spirit with the proper attitude, the proper joy, the proper sharing of His message. And it is about the truth. We say, well, we stand on truth. Yes, but where are you when it comes to the attitude of that? When it comes to the spirit of the truth? When it comes to the joy of the truth? Well, we're all about the spirit. And that's good. We need to be more energized from time to time. We need to be excited. It's okay to say amen. It's all right to say hallelujah. But if you don't have the truth, then what's the attitude, the good attitude all about? Jesus says there's a time coming when you will not worship in that mountain or in Jerusalem, but you are going to worship my Father in spirit and in truth. And I'm letting you know here today, church, that's what we need to have. Is spirit and truth. Jesus says you want to see God, you have to check the filter of your heart. If your heart is cluttered with stuff, resentment, secret sins, or the need to be right all the time, then as we lift our head, God's going to look a little blurry. Because we're not going to see Him purely. And it's not because He's not there to be seen purely. It's because we are looking at Him with dirty glasses. Purity is not about being perfect. It's about having an undivided heart. I am sold out for Jesus and there's nothing that you can do to make me change. That's being pure. See, he got after the nation of Israel time and time and time again because they weren't being pure to the God of creation. They weren't being pure to the God of Mount Sinai. They were not being pure to the God that was bringing a Messiah to them in the world. They were seeking out, just as we do today, and chasing after a world full of idolatry. Oh, I'm not an idolater. If you put anything above Jesus Christ, you are an idolater. You are into idolatry. Have an undivided heart. It's when we say, that which is in the pew, how we act here, matches how we act when we go through the drive-through. I've seen some Christians be downright embarrassing to waiters and waitresses and people in restaurants. Downright embarrassing. When you have an opportunity of maybe them having a bad day, maybe they messed up your order from top to bottom. Are you going to respond as a Christian or as a jerk? So then we have this call to action. We cannot be so focused on the church part of the Church of Christ that we forget the Christ part of the church. Christ was pure, but yet he ate with tax collectors. Christ was holy, but yet he touched lepers. The world does not need a church that is a museum full of perfect people. It needs a hospital filled with people who have been washed clean and are now busy washing the wounds of others. In the Church of Christ, we emphasize following the biblical pattern. The most important pattern is the one that God sees. For example, in 1 Samuel 16:7, we're reminded that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Purity is not just doing bad things or just not doing bad things. It is having an undivided heart. When our heart is pure, our vision clears. We stop seeing people as issues to be solved or arguments to be won, and we start seeing them the way that God does, and that is souls that are lost. So I challenge you all with the mercy test this week. We had a little test for you last week. We got another one for us here. If purity is the inward condition and mercy is the outward leak, then consider this gentleman here. Heard about a Christian that tried to be so pure in the way that he lived, the things that he consumed, the things that he put himself around, that he would not even eat devil's food cake. Okay? So I think he's kind of missing the point. But he was so confused on being right that he forgot to be kind. He once spent 20 minutes arguing with a visitor about the exact date that the church was established when all the visitor was trying to do was find the restroom. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ's sake forgave you. I challenge you to what we're going to call the mercy move. We cannot just talk about upside-down living. We have to live it. Identify one person in your life. Maybe it's even someone in this congregation. Maybe it's a family member, a coworker, who clearly does not deserve your kindness. Somebody that's just been rude to you. Somebody that has just gotten under your skin. Well, this week, take time, think about it, and perform a specific act of godly service for them. Then we'll start to see, are we pure in heart? Are we merciful? Give ourselves a purity check Ask God, what is cluttering my heart and blocking my view of you? Ask the Lord to make us a people of clean hearts and of clean hands and open hands used for His service. Help us to be the Church of Christ, not in name only, but in nature. May our purity lead us to love. And may our mercy lead us, help us to lead others to Jesus. So as we continue to go through the Beatitudes and we're looking here, be merciful. Be pure in heart. Seek His will above our own. As we said, purity in our love and mercy to lead others to Jesus, that we can share with them the same thing that we have done to receive these blessings from Jesus. It starts with coming to Jesus and believing who He is, that He is the Son of God, that He is the one that died for our sins, that He is not just a good guy, but that He is the perfect Son of God that gave His life upon the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Are you then willing to repent of your sin? Sin that put Him on the cross. Sin that made Him die for the ungodly. It was you, it was me, it was the sin of the world. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Are you willing to change your ways and to come alongside Him? Confess Him here when you're immersed and also on your daily living. Then be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Why? So that our sins are washed away. Why? So that we have our forgiveness of sins. Why? So that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can arise to walk in the newness of life. So we can say goodbye to the old life of sin, impurities, unmercifulness. Be merciful. Be pure. Come to Jesus. Arise to walk in the newness of life and do our best to live each and every day for Him. It's one of the things that I've shared, been thinking in my mind so much lately, that we know all the mistakes and the things that we do wrong and the times we're not what we ought to be, but it's still in our hands that Jesus Christ left the church. Sometimes I think He's got more faith in us than we have in ourselves. We're going to sing a song of invitation this morning. And if you're here and to be obedient, please come forward. Talk to myself, one of the elders. Grab a Christian here and say, I want to be more fully and totally committed to Jesus Christ. Let today be your day of salvation. Will you stand?